Just after the First World War, Greek immigrant Peter Pheros migrated to Australia with dreams of making it big in the New World. He moved to the New South Wales country town of Bingra, where he opened up a cafe. But the cafe business wasn't enough for Peter Pheros. By the 1930s, cinema was becoming an increasingly popular source of entertainment. Cinemas were opening up all over the country. Peter Pheros decided to cash in on the growing popularity of cinema by opening up the Roxy. His grandson, Peter Prinaus, documents his grandfather's life as well as the development of the cinema in his book Katsehamos and the Great Idea. Now, you didn't know that your grandfather had this theatre until fairly recently. How did you find out about this?
Just by chance. Our mother died in 2002. My grandfather's old photo album emerged when we were emptying the house. And that had lots of pictures of Bingra in the 20s and 30s, including some pictures of a picture theatre, which interested me, and I decided, well, I must pay a visit to Bingra one day. So I became very interested. I put two and two together and realised that this was the same theatre that I'd been reading about in the newspaper that had been reopened by Gwydirshire Council as a performing arts centre, and Bob Carr, the Premier of New South Wales, had gone up and opened it.
So with his business partners, Peter Pheros embarked on building the Roxy, an Art Deco wonder in the heart of Bingra.
In the 1930s, the mood was modern. Aeroplanes and cars, electrical appliances, chrome, plastic and aluminium were modern. Modern was clean, streamlined and fast. Art Deco was part of this movement. It grew out of the German Bauhaus school of design and was at first known as the Style Moderne. The old decorative styles were renounced in favour of clean lines, geometric patterns and simplified designs. The latest ocean liners from Europe sailing into Sydney Harbour expressed the new style. It could be seen in new buildings going up in the city. It was shown larger than life on cinema screens throughout the country. Modern was the dream of the times. Peters & Company's picture theatre was a house of dreams, and it could not be anything but modern.
At the beginning of the 20th century, mass migration out of Greece had increased dramatically. Poor farmers and those sick of fighting wars packed their bags for the dreams and hope that immigrant countries such as Australia and America offered. Your grandfather, Peter Pheros, was part of a wave of migration out of Greece that took place around the First World War. Can you describe the circumstances that led him and others like him to migrate at that time?
In his case, he had been to America as a young man. He'd returned to Greece and signed up to fight in the Balkan Wars. After all that, it seemed that there was just going to be no end to it, and there was going to be more wars that he was going to be involved in. So he decided that he had to leave the country in order to support his family. Seeing Liberty from the streets of Manhattan does not prepare you for the experience of meeting her. She is a colossus. Beaten sheets of copper were fixed to an iron frame in Paris to make this large neoclassical lady. And then she was brought to New York and placed on a pedestal on her own island. Her message has changed over the years. She was conceived as a symbol of freedom. Then she became Mother of Exiles. Now she is an emblem of American culture and power. I took a ferry over to Ellis Island, where the Immigration Hall, with its red and cream masonry and domed towers and spires, looked like a cross between a museum and an old-fashioned mental asylum. I landed and walked into the Great Hall, where, from 1892 to 1954, 12 million people passed beneath the galleries and high-vaulted ceilings. There were photographs displayed in the long corridors of immigrant family group, of Greek miners in Utah holding up whiskey bottles and guns as tokens of their success in the new country, of people in long rows waiting. I read fragments of graffiti on the polished stone walls, many of them in Greek. Kardiamo, my heart, one began. I wondered about Papua's journey through this place.
There's a history of early Greek immigrants around the world setting up small businesses, especially cafes and restaurants. Why do you think so many Greeks did this?
Well, most of these Greek immigrants were men of limited education, the typical education was from about the age of 5 or 6 to 14, about 7 years. And so they just didn't have the education needed to find more technical employment. Also, they had language barrier. They didn't speak English in the case of Australia and America. Another problem for them was that they were not exactly welcomed initially by the employment structure, either by the unions or by necessarily by some of the employers. They had to be innovative. They had to find businesses that they could set up on their own. And many of them went into the food trade because they knew something about food. They knew something about growing it. They knew something about processing it. And they knew something about preparing it and serving it, because those were skills that they learnt in the village. That's why a lot of them went into the cafe business.
What is the town of Bingra like now?
Well, like many country towns, it's gone through a decline in the last half century or so. There's been a drift to the city. People are more mobile now, and they tend to drive to and shop in larger towns. Small towns like Bingra have had a bit of a struggle to find a place in the modern economy. You know, there's been also a tremendous contraction of the number of people in the region. Whereas, you know, 100 years ago or 80 years ago, the rural population, working population, was quite high. Now, with mechanisation and other trends, it's fallen off very markedly. So there's been a population decline. But the town's still there and it's still going, and it has a lot going for it. Peter Ferris and George Soltis travelled over the Nandawar Range to the Gwydir River less than a century after the English explorer and botanist Alan Cunningham, who saw the country in 1827, a drought year, and wrote of gloomy woods with scarcely a trace of Indian or kangaroo. Descending from the range, the road enters a valley of good pasture, with rocky spurs covered in cypress and ironbarks running north towards the river on either side. On reaching the township, the road enters Maitland Street, which leads to the south bank of the Gwydir River. The Kamilaroi Aborigines call this spot Bingra, and it is said to mean shallow crossing. Back in 1827, Cunningham's reports of good pasture quickly brought squatters north to graze their sheep and cattle on the grassy woodlands which they now claimed. They named their new holdings Bingra and Mile Creek and Kira. Soon there were clashes with the Kamilaroi as they were pushed off their camps along the watercourses, and in 1838, an infamous massacre occurred at Mile Creek Station. Remarkably for those times, 11 local stockmen and labourers were put on trial in Sydney for some of the murders, but they escaped with a plea of self-defence. Even more remarkably, there was a second trial in which the group were charged with more murders, this time of several women and children, and 9 of the men were convicted and 7 were hanged.
With a population today of 1,300 people, Bingra has mirrored the recent decline of many country towns. As for the country cafe, they too began to close their doors, with the owners joining the exodus to the city. In 1936, just a few months after it opened, Peter Ferros abandoned his share in the Roxy. Bankrupt and disappointed, he too eventually left town.
The Greeks were notable in joining the drift to the cities. They had particular reasons for doing that. One of them was that they wanted a social life that included more Greeks, and that the cities could provide that. And they also, I think the Greeks in those days were particularly concerned about having their daughters marry Greeks, and they had a bit of trouble finding suitable partners in country towns, so they moved to the city in the hope that their daughters would marry what they considered to be suitable partners there.